You've heard the predictions for weeks, and now it's confirmed the Trump administration is seeking a big increase in defense spending. Big like 10% or more than $50 billion for 2018. For analysis of where the money is likely to go specifically, we turn to Rob Levinson, senior defense analyst for Bloomberg Government. Rob, now that we've seen the skinny budget itself, all 50 pages or so of it, somewhat more detail than we had heard earlier, with the acknowledgement that we're speaking in hypotheticals, because as you have written, there's a long budget process yet to go. What are the highlights that you see in what the president is proposing for 2018?
To me, one of the very interesting things is, well, he talked about getting rid of, you know, the sequester, which has become sort of shorthand for the Budget Control Act. He's not actually proposing getting rid of the Budget Control Act. President Trump is basically proposing of raising the caps for the defense side of spending on discretionary spending, and then lowering by an equivalent amount the caps on the non-defense. So he's still sort of embracing the logic of the Budget Control Act, just wanting to shift the caps around. And I thought that was interesting. I thought he might be asking for just a repeal of the caps altogether.
The way he's looking at this, then, the discretionary increase at defense is about $52 billion over what has been over the actualized 2017 level, or about 10%. Where do you see this money going? He did mention some more platforms in F-35, for example.
Yeah, I mean, some of it will go to platforms, but really, you know, from what everybody is saying, a lot of this is just going to go to fix a lot of readiness holes and shortfalls. You know, the Navy said a large number of their F-18s are grounded and things like that are down for maintenance. I think they're going to use a big chunk of this money simply to sort of fill those readiness holes, you know, improve the maintenance, get people back in for training. There's not going to be a whole lot of money here in this $52 billion for really, you know, increasing the number of platforms. Now, I think that is President Trump's plan in the coming years. But for the most part, you know, this is really only it's 52 and change above the actualized, as you said, 2017 level or the 2016 level, since we're in a CR. But it's really only about 3% above where President Obama was proposing in his last budget for 2018. So it's not as quite a huge boost in things as first blush might indicate.
So in other words, it's not really a military buildup so much as a polishing of the military that we have now.
I think, yeah, on balance, that's probably true. It may be the beginnings of a buildup, but I think this is really not the buildup. You know, if you look at some defense hawks like, say, John McCain, he was looking for a much bigger boost in defense spending for 2018 in the plan that he put out. And this is nowhere near the numbers that John McCain was talking about.
Is there anything in there, I couldn't find it, about rebuilding or modernizing the nuclear arsenal or beginning that process?
No,
that's a real expensive item.
Yeah, it is, and I didn't see a lot in there. There may be some more buried in the Department of Energy budget, because a lot of that spending is actually not DOD, it's in DOE. And I know that the NNSA, which is the National Nuclear Security Administration, which is the part of DOE that is handling nuclear weapons, that's not taking a lot of cuts. There's some other cuts in DOE, you know, on alternative energy programs and things like that. But the nuke stuff is fairly well protected.
Yeah, there are several mentions throughout the budget of duplicated programs and duplicative agencies, almost, that he wants to try to get savings out of. So the implication is, yes, we're saving money, but we're not really cutting back on missions. And this is in DOD and really throughout the whole budget.
Yeah, I think that that's true. That, you know, and let's face it, to a certain extent, every president, maybe Republicans a bit more than Democrats, but every president comes in and wants to, you know, consolidate things, look for duplication, because there certainly are programs that are very powerful. And then and some of that will happen, I'm sure. Some of it won't happen. There's a lot of entrenched bureaucracies, and there's also legal reasons why sometimes, you know, pushing things together don't make as much sense as they might seem at first blush.
We're speaking with Rob Levinson, senior defense analyst for Bloomberg Government. You have written now that about half the money of the increase in DOD will go to contractors. Tell us more about what you see.
We've done this before. We do sort of a back of the envelope calculation where you take the most recent full budget for an agency, and then you take what they spent on contracts that year, and you come up with sort of a ratio that gives you a guide as to how much of every agency dollar gets spent on contracts versus other things like personnel and grants and other internal costs. And so with DOD using the 2016 numbers that we took from, you know, our Bloomberg government database, you come up with about 52% or so goes to contractors. So if you multiply that 52% times the $52.3 billion, you know, you come up with about $27.5 billion as an estimate of what chunk of that increase will actually go to contractors versus to the other things I talked about. And we can do that with any agency, and different agencies are different. I mean, you know, NASA spends a huge percentage of their budget on contractors. It's up over 80%. And so any dollar that you give to NASA is a dollar, a lot of it, 80 cents or so, will go to contractors. So when you cut from NASA, the contractors feel that pain. Likewise, on the flip side, you take like the Department of Education, very little of their money goes to contractors. So cut to Department of Education doesn't affect the contracting community as much.
Now, given that the defense increase is not really a buildup of platforms, it's not a major shipbuilding program or major airplane acquisition program other than what they were going to do anyway, then what sort of contractors are likely to benefit?
Well, again, you may see some. There was a little bit of talk of more F-35s, and there's been a lot of talk about the Navy. So, you know, the F-35 is built by Lockheed Martin, the Pentagon, and the government's largest contractor. They'll certainly benefit. And, you know, Huntington Ingalls and General Dynamics are big ship and submarine builders. But then a lot of the little guys that, you know, provide the day-to-day kinds of support, professional services, training, even fuel for flying hours and things like that, you know, the money's going to be spread around. Ammunition for troops to go out and, you know, go to the range and go shoot, again, because training is probably going to be a big part of this plus-up.
If there's also repair and updating of existing platforms, then maybe the original companies that were subcontractors that supply parts might be benefiting.
Oh, sure. You know, any of these systems, these weapon systems, the original manufacturer does some of the maintenance and repair, but then increasingly DOD has looked to, you know, even bid that stuff out, and sometimes another contractor can come in and do maintenance and logistics support and benefit from that.
And you mentioned earlier that this is just somewhat more than what the Obama administration had been asking for, but way below what people like Senator McCain want. Does that mean maybe the DOD portion of this has a decent chance in Congress?
Well, I think, you know, you have to look at it as a whole package. You know, the Democrats are not necessarily opposed to increasing the defense budget. But the thing here is all of this is offset with cuts on the other, you know, domestic discretionary programs. And that's where particularly the Democrats, but even some Republicans, are going to have heartburn with. You know, the deal has always been, since we passed the Budget Control Act back in 2012, and nobody's been happy with the caps, and they've negotiated increases in both defense and non-defense by about the same amount. Well, this does the opposite of that. And that is, you know, maybe a deal breaker for the Democrats. So I think most of them are going to fight pretty hard, not necessarily against the DOD increase, but saying you can't take that out of the non-defense spending.
Rob Levinson is senior defense analyst for Bloomberg Government. Thanks so much for joining me.
My pleasure, Tom.
Find a link to this interview and to all of our budget coverage at federalnewsradio.com/Federal Drive.